You're listening to WDOT Fort Washington. I'm Lucas Nervansky.
I'm Adam Jackson.
And we are broadcasting to you live from the pep rally right here at Schreiber High School. We just heard the Star Spangled Banner. We're a little bit disoriented here at the radio station studio. We just got the table and everything set up for you so you can listen in here and know exactly what is going on at Schreiber High School. Just about all the students are here, or at least supposed to be here, right, Adam? Okay, and now we see out coming here to you in the golf cart, some women in blue here, blue and white, those are the school colors for those of you who are unaware, driving around the mascot who is going to give us a display to rouse our school spirit. The mascot now running up toward the radio studios. Station here.
We got the Viking mascot, and that's been the mascot of Schreiber since I think the founding of the school.
Back. Is that really? Does that go back to?
I actually think they put it in 1952 when they moved to the Schreiber campus because they were formerly at the Landmark.
I was about to say, they were actually, the high school was at Weber at one point, if my memory serves me.
Yes.
No, we were at Weber, and now. And now somebody is talking.
Well, I think we've got the main event leaders, the two, I'm not sure their names, but they lead the morning announcements every morning.
Oh, do they really?
I think, yes. So I think this whole student body is used to, and they're used to hearing their voices every morning. So.
Yes, it's that trying to create that energy, you know, trying to create that. They replaced it last year. I don't know if you remember. It used to be Andy Kay and somebody else. Oh, and now we have, I think we've got a quartet coming out.
And I just want to describe the landscape. We've got the students on our left, all the student body, and we've got all the fall athletic teams on our right, football, cross country, tennis, girls tennis, etc. And the quartets are currently doing their cheer in the center court.
And I got to ask you a question, Adam, about the quartet. I don't really understand. Maybe you can explain it to me a little bit better. What's the difference between a quartet and a cheerleader? It's a controversial topic, I'm sure, but what are your thoughts on that subject?
I believe the quartets are more dancers, and they don't necessarily go to the athletic competitions and cheer on the team. Well, they do. They go specifically to the athletic competitions and cheer on the team. But the cheerleaders are actually a force in themselves. They do gymnastic-type movements, and they have their own separate competitions, which actually the cheerleading team here went to a Long Island competition, and I believe they came in fairly high in that competition.
Okay, so what you're saying basically is that the cheerleaders are competitive, or a competitive team, whereas the quartet are more of a dance-related group.
Right,
it's just cheers on those teams that we have when they go to competition.
Yes, and as we see now, the quartets are doing one of the dance, doing a kick line formation as they face the right side and they turn around to the students. Everyone's pretty much into it right now. We'll see if that interest keeps up. And these are some really advanced moves that they're doing right now. You've got to have a lot of flexibility to do some of these movements.
Right, and I think, Adam, they're just getting into it. But just to clarify for the listening audience, because you're saying right and left, and I don't think they realize what you're talking about. For those of you who are students at the school, the best way I can describe it is you come into the school, you walk into the gymnasium from the main entrance, and then you see on each side of you, right-hand side, a series of bleachers, and the left-hand side, a series of bleachers. Now, the right-hand side of those bleachers are going to be, as Adam said a few minutes ago, those athletic teams. And the left-hand side, more or less, the student body. The quartet's now lining up perpendicular to the bleachers and moving around their pom-poms and so on.
Definitely synchronized in their movements. I mean, this is not easy for whoever thinks so. In my opinion, this is probably one of the toughest, definitely a tough thing to do. My mom was actually a ballet dancer when she was in high school, and she described it being very strenuous to do these movements. It's not very easy, so I really give them credit. And, I think the crowd, not into it so much right now, but I think at the end they may give these girls a round of applause.
And just to be clear, if my memory serves, this is going much better than it did last year, right? Last year there was some sort of problem. Do you remember that, Adam?
I think I remember it was some sort of a technical issue that they couldn't resolve, and they had to delay the pep rally 10 or 15 minutes. And there's the applause for the quartet.
The crowd is going absolutely wild now. The quartet on the floor in an athletic position, getting back up, all lined up in their blue, white, and silver uniforms, are now marching around back, I think, marching back to where they came from, back into either the bleachers or into the locker room for the next act to begin. You can see now...
Now we've got the cheerleaders with their masks, because they will be doing some acrobatics that could lead to an injury if there was just hardwood floor.
Absolutely. You know, I wonder... It's funny... I'm almost surprised in this day and age that they're even allowed to do some of the things that they
right,
do. Because
right,
it's such
right.
a PC world where, I mean, and of course you hear the crowd just absolutely screaming, and I'm sorry if you can't hear me that well, but they're lining up the mat to do their gymnastic routine, which I think is more or less a gymnastics routine.
Right.
Essentially... if you were talking about before, that difference between the cheerleaders and the quartet having to deal with their athleticness. And I think that's the word athleticness.
Yeah.
I think that the quartets are less strenuous, and perhaps the quartets are more so a dance group. And here you have a real athletic wrestling, where you have the cheerleaders.
Right.
What are your thoughts, regarding their performance? Do you think it's going to be better than last year?
I think last year, if my memory serves me, one of the cheerleaders actually fell off the top. She did not get injured, but it was a little bit of a trip at the top. I don't know if too many people noticed it, but
I remember that.
Right.
Now that you mentioned someone fell.
But I think that today's performance, I know some of the cheerleaders on the team, and they're very, very good athletes, and I think that they've been really practicing hard over the last month and the cheerleaders, just like every other sport, have to report early to school, before school, August 27th, that's correct.
You know, we don't give them enough credit. I mean,
right.
I go to a couple of clubs in the morning. I'm not somebody who's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day to go to an hour or whatever and
right.
practice in the morning. That's an intense
it's routine. Tough.
They're
it's
committed.
Tough.
But here's the question we have to ask. Oh, and now the cheerleaders are coming out.
And they've
got their blue dresses with white stripes, as well as the white and blue headpieces that are so characteristic of the cheerleading group and of the school in general. They're all lined up now in formation. They're in three different clusters, two small clusters, and then one central cluster toward the left side of the stands. And as we said before, it's the left side when you walk into the main entrance of the gym, facing the crowd watching. So that turns toward the other players and facing the masses of the rest of the school. By the way, what percentage of the school do you actually think turned out today for the event? Because
I think
the stands are filled, but
right.
I think it to be to the point where, I mean, you don't even have room to breathe.
Of course, I think there are about close to 1,600 kids in Schreiber High School. The maximum capacity of this room is 1,700. That is not even close. We are not maximum capacity of the room. We are in maximum capacity of the bleachers, which what I would say is about maybe half of the student body is here, and then maybe adding the athletes, that would a little over half, I would say. Some, you know, seniors or some freshmen who might not have much invested in the pep rally might have not showed up, but definitely. A good support of students at the pep rally.
And now coming into you with what's actually going on the ground, you see the cheerleaders in the midst of their routine. You got that heavy beat sort of club sounding music playing in the background, moving their the silver and blue pom-poms up and down, moving around back now to the rear of the mat. You have a few gymnasts doing those tumble falls as well in the front of the mat. And then in the back you have the jumping cows. Is that what those are called, Adam? I don't know what that's called that we just saw. It's really it's a support system for the person on top, more like a pyramid move, a singular pyramid move. And now they're actually going to do the pyramid, but not with anyone on top. And they did a little flip routine with the pyramid move. So that's definitely a more difficult combination. Yes, and now two girls are just looking to the top of the tower, making three. Oh, now they're building their tower. Now we're up to five different people on top of the tower, one in the center. They're getting down now. I think the routine is coming to an end, or at least it's transitioning to a different portion of it. But that's what we were saying before about the occupancy of the room and about the turnout. To what extent do you think that the cheerleaders or any group that comes out are really rousing the school spirit? Or do you think this is more of just a show? This is just a tradition that we sort of routinely go through.
I think it's definitely part tradition. The tradition is very prevalent here because, you know, the administrators, they make you come. They make you come with your classes, being a student, and watch this stuff. But I think once the kids are actually here, they kind of get involved in it. They kind of become, you know, they're really proud of their school because they go to it. They go to it at virtually five times a week, and they want to see, you know, a good spectacle if they're going to sit here for an hour.
Sure, I think there's a lot of dedication to their sport from the students, and I do think that there's a substantial difference in school spirit between athletes and just students who are here for academic purposes. And I want to find out what's going on the ground. The cheerleaders have left the court, have left the main space in between the bleachers, and then you see a lineup of differences. Adam, are these football players?
I'll describe it to you right now. The football players are nearest us on the near side. We have them as
well. Facing the door. So just to let you know, the near side is facing the door.
Yes. Facing the door on the near side. Then we have soccer. Then the cheerleading team. Then the girls' soccer team after that. Then the quartet. Then the boys' volleyball team. Then the girls' volleyball team. And then I believe the girls' tennis team, cross country, and a little out of my peripheral, I can't see quite down there. I think field hockey all the way on the far side.
And now here we have the cheerleaders, I think, are coming back out of the back entrance of the gym. They're walking by the radio booth right now. They're sort of making a round through the gym, and they're now sitting back down at the bleachers. But it seems to be they're going to engage in some sort of physical activity. Is this perhaps the beginning of the tug of war, Matt?
It might be beginning of the tug of war. I know the tug of war comes a little toward the end.
Okay, now they're dispersing. So that was...
Yes, they were basically lining up the captains of the team and asking them some questions. I didn't really get the gist of that, but in the past they asked some questions about the team.
So, Adam, I'm curious, how much of this is actually rehearsed, as we're sort of at an intermission period? How much of this is actually rehearsed, and how much is just orchestrated on the spot?
Well, the coordinators are rehearsing constantly. Probably for the last week they've been rehearsing pretty seriously. But the athletes involved are just pretty much on the spot because they obviously have busy schedules during the season, and they don't really have time to rehearse. So the coordinators are kind of running the show right now.
Now, is there also, and of course, anybody listening to this who knows me knows that I know little to nothing about sports, so this is just my guess. What about those students involved in spring sports? Are they the spring background too?
I am actually involved in spring sport on the baseball team.
Okay.
And there is a battle of the classes in the spring, not a pep rally, where sports teams are involved. It's this battle of every different class, and they sit in various sections across the gym, and they compete in competition to see which class is the best.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets a little bit sticky. Okay, now we're chanting something. Okay, they were screaming something. For those of you who haven't done this before, it's interesting because you don't really hear
right
what is being said by the speakers You just sort of hear, we sort of hear each other, Adam and I, but we're only seeing what's going on the field, and we just hear sort of this shouting in the background.
Now they're bringing out various tables. I would say about, they have six or seven tables, and they're setting up, I believe, the iced tea or some beverage and bagel challenge, in which a participant has to eat an entire bagel and drink an entire large iced tea.
Now, what are the, do you know, perhaps, I don't know, I just, this is completely new to me. What are the origins of this kind of a challenge? I mean,
I am not exactly sure the origins. I know ever since I started Schreiber in my freshman year, they've been doing this competition at both the Pep Rally and Battle of the Classes.
But didn't they once do a donut-eating competition where donuts were suspended from strings and they started to eat the donuts?
Yes.
Is that a different version of that?
I think there are different variations of the contest, but I think this is definitely a reoccurrence at the Pep Rally, the bagel and the iced tea. I think it is actually bought from a local bagel store.
So it's like a sponsorship thing. Oh, I see. All right.
They do mention it. I think they mentioned it a couple of years ago where it was from. I'm not exactly sure what the sponsorship is, but it's become a tradition, I definitely say. And I think all the various athletic teams are participating. We have closest to the radio booth by the doors, we have the soccer team, and then the girls soccer, then volleyball team, then boys volleyball team, and girls tennis. And the football team also on the far side away from us.
Now, I know every year, obviously, that they're freshmen who come into the school, but how much did this team change?
The teams definitely change as people graduate and they have to add new players. So very consistently, but sometimes players are on a varsity team for three seasons, sophomore, junior, and senior. Now the competition is progressing, and we don't know who's going to finish yet, but it looks like the soccer team is on to the bagel portion. They have finished the drink, and they are raising their hands. And the soccer, boys soccer, closest to us, has won the competition.
Fantastic. Did you get a second and third place, or is it just a winner-take-all kind of situation?
I think it's a winner-take-all, because points, I don't think, are awarded in this competition. I know points are awarded in the Battle of the Classes to see which is the best class, but there are just so many teams here right now, I think about 10, that I don't think they keep track of the points right now.
How much do these teams change over the years? Is it because I recognize most of the faces here. It seems to be the same people over and over and over again doing the same
sport. Oh, yes.
I've had sometimes some freshmen come in,
right.
But it seems like it's every class is a certain group of people who do a certain sport. I'm looking right now at the cheerleader, so it's just to my right, and I'm seeing mostly the same faces I saw last year. Do you think the athletic department is very open to new participation, or is there some sort of hierarchy system that students have to deal with if they want to get involved in the school sports?
Well, I think for me with baseball, I got involved with a junior varsity team in 9th grade as a freshman, and then I got on the varsity team last year in 10th grade. So I think there's definitely a newcomers can participate, but it tends to get where the captains are the same throughout, because the captains are usually the best players, so they're on the team for the longest period of time. And they sort of stick around until graduation, where there's a new set of captains. So I'd say the turnover takes about 3-4 years, and then you start to see completely new faces, and then everyone fades out. But it's kind of, you know, a cycle. And definitely, you know, athletic kids stick together. I think there is a hierarchy there.
And here, I was right at the donut competition. I knew that there was definitely some competition like this. I remember this story. You remember we just said a few minutes ago, I thought this was a donut eating competition, not a bagel eating competition. But here they are. So let me describe the setup to you. What we have is a line going across the gym, power out to the bleachers on what looked like cut up trash bags. Are students who are sitting down, crouching, etc., in front of donuts, and in a few minutes, they're going to try to eat those donuts the fastest without their hands, without the use of any digits of any kind, just stuffing the donut in their mouth.
And just to point out that now, I see some regular of the regular students of the student body, not the athletes, participating in these competitions. I thought before that it was only the athletes that participated, but apparently the students are involved. The regular students are involved as well.
Evidently, that's the case. Should I go, Adam? Should I just hit radio and just go down and?
I think you should, Lucas.
I think maybe that might be. I don't know. I feel like I might be publicly humiliated trying to do that.
But look at this. I think once you get in there and you try to eat that donut, it's way harder than it looks. Off that string, you do not have traction with your teeth as they begin the competition now. And already the soccer players are having some struggles.
Oh, I see. One dude in the corner, I mean, he's not even getting himself onto the... can't even bite the donut. But as usual, he's incredibly flexible. And I'm going to give him a shout-out. He's a friend of mine. I'm going to give him a shout-out. August Seidman, great guy. He's on for a long time. Taking a bite right out of that donut. I think he... Oh, snap.
We have a winner.
You have a winner in the corner. What team is that? Can you tell?
I think that was the girls' volleyball team, actually.
Impressive. I wonder if that has to do with the setting over the net, maybe. Is there a goal involved in it?
It might be. I mean... It's very crazy, but I wanted to point out that once the boys' soccer team is finished with eating their donut, they swung the remnants into the crowd, and I'm not sure what really happened with that, but I'm sure it's on the floor right now, and no one's going to be eating that anymore.
And now someone's giving up announcements, not sure what they're saying as usual, and we don't really know what's going on. We just guess. That's what radio people do. For those in the listening audience, we kind of just make it up as we go along.
Right,
right.
None of this is true.
It's fabrication. We're actually not even in a pep rally right now, are we, Adam? We're in Lucas's basement.
We're in Lucas's basement, actually.
It's all fabricated. we're talking into my microphone right now. We're sitting there with a little USB port mic. And this is legit. We're actually a pep rally. And by the way, for those who don't know, you're listening to WDOT, Fort Washington. I'm Lucas Domanski.
I'm Adam Jackman.
And we're talking to you about the Cup Rally here. It happens every year in the mid-September region, a couple weeks into school, where we're trying to, you know, rouse the spirit of students, get that driver pride on, so to speak, and encourage passion for our athletic department, essentially. Are there any sponsors for this event? Do you know?
I believe there are some sponsors that may sponsor the equipment that is used every year. But they're very consistent. They don't change year to year. They're always the same people. I think they're always associated with the school board as the cross country team wins this competition, which was eating. I believe there was an object inside of some whipped cream that they had to find and eat with just their mouths, and they are the winners.
Good for them.
Very interesting competition.
It's a strange competition, but like I said before, I kind of wonder who came up with the idea to do these different things. Like, was there some sort of meeting like 50 years ago where people sat in the room and said, what thing shall we do for pep rally?
I think there might have been a meeting because the student, I saw a couple of representatives of the student council here today, the student council search. So that being said, I believe that maybe many years ago there was a student council meeting that they wanted to foster school spirit, so they came up with the pep rally ideas of their own personal pep rally, because pep rallies across the country don't really look like this. It's kind of unique.
Interesting, and now they're coming out with that tongue rub. This is my favorite part of Kepler.
This is the main event,
this
people.
Is the important thing that you should care about. This is when different teams, different departments, so to speak, the soccer team or the football team, so on and so forth, will play a tug of war. Now, this could only be made better if this is actually over a mud pit.
Right, yes.
This is over some area that you really would not want to fall into.
And just to add on
maybe
to that.
Maybe a crocodile. And then it's just an alligator or something. It's fire.
No.
It's an interesting event nonetheless. I always thought it was fun. I don't know about you, Adam, but
just to add on to that, I heard some rumors of some people on some certain teams willing to lose on purpose, drop the rope, so that the other team will go flying.
I mean,
really, is that a
yes,
rumor?
That is
okay.
A rumor.
Well, that would change the entire
yes.
course of events. I think that would be hysterical. I'm sure somebody will say that that's not allowed.
Right.
That would be so funny
right.
if that happened.
Yeah.
They're going to go flying. I mean, I can tell you right now, those guys are going to go flying right into the wall.
And now, that happens.
Now it's cheerleaders versus the Portets versus
this
cheerleaders.
This is a big rivalry right now.
Now,
big
I want to emphasize, this is really important because we all know the rumor, which is people oftentimes say that the Portets are essentially just a knockoff of a cheerleader.
Right.
And vice versa. So this, to me, is always the most competitive. Because, you know, if you have soccer versus football, it doesn't really matter. But this is, they're doing almost the same thing.
Right.
So I think the rivalry is completely real. It's a Schultz now releasing the ropes. They're going at it, tugging each way. The red line is pulling towards the side of the Portets.
Portets are gaining now. It's almost out of the circle.
Taking inch by inch, pulling it out of the...
The Portets.
And they win.
That's it. The Portets are the winners. The cheerleaders are in dismay right now, even though they don't really care, I don't think. But the student body might take a side on it. But I just want to describe you the parameters of the tug of war. We have, you know, the general tug of war, two teams on each side, but the way they used to measure the winner is they have a circle in the center of the gym, and when it goes out of that circle, when there is a piece of fabric tied to the center of the rope, and when that piece of fabric goes out of the center with each side, that team is awarded the win.
All right, tell me what teams are lined up. I think we got girls tennis.
We got girls tennis.
Girls tennis on one side. So that's the side closest to us. That is the side closest to the door of the beginning, at the entrance of the gymnasium. And on the other side, Adam, we have
girls volleyball.
No. This is girls field hockey.
Field hockey. Okay.
They're lining up now. Mr. Stoltz at the center of the Viking circle. That's at the middle of the gym. They're lining up now, getting hold of the rope. There's some discussion in the back.
And this might be the match where someone drops the rope. This is the match I've heard the most rumors about dropping the rope. We'll see if it happens.
Which team do you think is going to drop the rope?
It's over. Wow. That was the quickest tug-of-war I have ever seen.
And the winners?
The winners are the girls' field hockey. They really pulled hard.
They pulled very hard. But you know what? I would have expected that. Because
you have
a lot more training in your upper body strength and your arm strength than just playing field hockey. I know tennis has to swing a racket.
Right.
It's not the same as having to knock that ball around the field, whatever you want to call that.
And now we have two teams coming out. We have the boys' soccer on the near side to us, closest to the doors. And we have boys' volleyball closest to the far side. Lucas, I want to get your prediction on this. Who's going to win?
I'm sorry, Adam. I didn't actually hear what you just said. Can you repeat that?
We have the boys' soccer on the near side, closest to the doors, and the boys' volleyball on the far side.
I say volleyball. I like volleyball. My money is on the volleyball team. And you, what do you think?
I'm taking soccer. Let's see what happens.
You're taking soccer. Let's see what happens.
The soccer team is getting very hyped up right now.
And for those that are closest to us, so for those administrators listening, we are not betting money, right, Adam?
Oh, no.
Of course.
Definitely.
That's not illegal.
Yes.
What we're definitely doing is we're not betting money.
Not betting money. All right, Mr. Schultz is almost ready to drop the rope. Soccer team on our near side, right closest to us. Volleyball team on the far side. Schultz drops it, and here we are.
Oh, it's almost there. The volleyball team almost has the win. It's so close.
Soccer team is pulling close, though.
Pulling back.
The soccer team. Will they win it? And the soccer team gets it.
The soccer team is the winner.
Lucas, you owe me $5. I'm just joking.
Don't worry.
What do we have next, Adam? All right, and it looks like pulling out of the stands right now is the girls, let me see, is that soccer? I'm not exactly sure.
Soccer, it says soccer. We have the girls soccer on the...
No, girls swimming and diving. girls swimming and diving on the far side and girls soccer on our near side.
Adam, tell me something. Where do the girls swimming and diving teams train? Because
there's no pool. There is a Nassau County Aquatic Center that they have to take a bus to each day.
Wow.
And go and practice. That is, and they
have a commitment right
definitely
there.
Commitment.
My money is on them. I feel that they have the strength to pull through. Because if you've got the strength to get up at 5 in the morning,
right,
go to practice with something like
that. I have my bet on the soccer team on our near side. Again, we're going against each other, but let's see what happens. And Phil stops the rope, and here we go.
Oh, it's looking like it's going to be the diving team.
But it's
the diving team.
It's going back, and it's pulling back.
Oh, there it is, the diving team.
The diving team won it. So, Lucas, you get this round. We're 1-1.
We're 1-1 here, Adam and I.
Right.
I want to remind you, it's WDOT, Fort Washington, the station of Survivor High School, coming to you live from the pep rally. I'm joined here by my co-host and personal friend,
Adam Jackman.
Now, I think we have a few more tug of war matches to go.
Yes.
Coming up right now, Adam, who do we have? I see we currently have
the girls volleyball team, and on the far side, the girls cross country team. My money's on volleyball.
Your money's on volleyball, so is mine. I'm always a volleyball guy.
I think we're agreeing on this one now. So I just think the volleyball players have a little more strength, and the cross country girls, I don't know. It could be an upset, but let's see right now. So it's right in the middle, ready to drop the rope yet again, and here we go.
And the red line is closer and closer.
Cross country is pulling it.
Cross country is coming to the end.
Wow.
There you go. Beat the volleyball team. We were both wrong. Okay, and that was Mr. Apitos, I think, saying something. Anyway, there you go.
And
who do we owe money to now?
I don't know.
We owe money to the girls' cross country.
We got to give a 10 cents to the girls'
cross
country.
All right, now we've got the boys' football team coming right behind the radio booth.
This is also a really important one, in my opinion.
Yeah, because the football team is always central to the morale of high school.
We have the boys' cross country team. Now, the girls got it done last time.
They did.
Can the boys pull an upset?
I think it's the football team.
I also agree.
And also, you got to remember, they're really angry because they're not playing tomorrow.
Right.
Homecoming is...
I will mention that after the tug of war, and I'll mention that further, but let's just see who wins right now.
But let's focus on the event at hand. Get the Charleston in the bin here, setting up for the next round of tug of war. And the Viking mascot running in front is clearly going to be a very intense match. A lot of people screaming and shouting. A lot of concern over this.
I
have any videotaping.
Me, yes. I see. And I see many phones out in the student body ready to capture this. And
the
football team is real. Oh!
Oh my goodness! The football team is bombarding all the students and the cheerleaders.
That was the most crazy event I had ever seen. And the rope is broken.
What does that mean? The
football team is carrying off the rope right now into their seating area. They're claiming victory for themselves.
Really? Okay, let's think about this thing. Do you think they broke the rope or was it the slam?
I don't know. I don't think we have another rope.
That is clear. We do not. I don't.
This has been the most exciting moment in pep rally history that I can remember.
That
has never happened.
For sure.
And it's over. Pep rally is over.
That's it. Pep rally is over. Pep rally 2017. That's the year, right, Adam?
2017.
And we're coming to you from my basement. No, we're coming to you from... going back to what we were saying before. No, we're coming to you from Shriver High School, WDOT, Fort Washington Station. I'm Lucas Romanski.
I'm Adam Jackson.
Thanks for listening. Listen to our programs on A-Day Mornings, 8 o'clock in the morning. Is the Rock and Roll Morning Show. And after me, Adam Jackman.
And a Buck Stop Beer.
With Chris Ricciardi.